10 years ago when I purchased it with a different mindset. But then as I'm paying this mortgage for 10 years, there's this thing called equity that's mm-hmm. built on your home. Mm-hmm. And that's both on what you've been paying on your principal and what and the value that your home has increased on the market.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have that equity, and it's no longer the money that I saved up to pay that down payment for this one condo
mm-hmm.
is no longer the my money from my e-job,
right?
That mm-hmm. I'm hard earning, putting my time and getting paid for. It's no longer that, because then the other thing that I was told mm-hmm. was anything that you need done in your home
mm-hmm.
should not come out of your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
It should come out of the equity of your home.
Mm-hmm.
So smart. You use that money to reinvest into that property. Because if there's equity in your home, it means that if all else fails
mm-hmm.
and you turn around, you go back to the bank and you say, I want to sell that, nothing still comes out of your pocket right. at the end of the day.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Very smart. Very smart. Good advice that you actually got. You said a key word, the word equity.
Mm-hmm.
People think cash flow. People are very cash flow driven, meaning, oh, how much are you getting extra after mm-hmm. your rent? Oh, $300. $300? You bought a sixplex
mm-hmm.
and you're only getting $300?
Mm-hmm.
And how much did you put in? Oh, yeah, $300,000, $400,000?
Mm-hmm.
No. Just I'll put it in crypto.
not to knock crypto, right? But yes.
But the risk is right. completely different.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what's really interesting about multifamily is the first thing is how the bank actually sees it. They mm-hmm. see it as a business.
Mm-hmm.
They calculate it differently. Mm-hmm. And the reason and the way they calculate it is how much revenue after expenses this property is generating.
Mm.
And according to the revenue, they will give a value to the property.
Mm.
So higher rents or higher profit
mm-hmm.
means your property is worth a lot more.
Right.
But the residential, they don't care about the rents. Right. Two duplexes, one next to each other, built the same, one sold for $1 million,
mm-hmm.
then it's going to impact the other one, even if the rents are extremely low.
Right.
But in commercial, they would say, hey, they're both built the same year, two sixplex, one next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
This one is worth, oh, you say it's worth $1 million? No, it's worth 800. Oh, this one is worth 650. You're like, what?
Mm.
Yeah, why? Oh, the rents. They're you're not making rent. As much.
Wow.
And since we say this is 650, we're going to give you a mortgage for 650.
Right, yeah. Based off of what?
But excuse me, Mr. Banker, what about the 350 extra? Because mm-hmm. it's still $1 million to purchase.
Right, yeah.
Oh, it's going to have to come from your pockets.
Right, yeah.
So this is the first cold shower a lot of people will get when they knock at the door of the commercial side, and they'll mm-hmm. be like, whoa, this is a lot of money to invest. Yeah. I am not ready. This, and that's when you start creating all kinds of scenarios. Why not?
Mm.
Right? So the multifamily is a faster way to actually create wealth.
Okay.
But the main thing is the added value that you can create yourself in your assets.
Mm.
Now, people put their money in stocks. They cross their fingers that the corporation will make the right move to make the business grow so that their stock actually grows.
Increases, yeah.
You're not in control of it.
Right.
You're putting money in crypto. You're crossing your finger. Mm-hmm. That is going to be popular enough. Other people are going to jump in. You have no control.
Right.
You buy a sixplex.
Mm.
You raise the rent
mm-hmm.
by adding value.
Mm-hmm.
Then you just made your asset more profitable, and there's more money for you to get.
And for our listeners, like when you say added value, you mean just it could be as simple as you come in and do some tweaks in the bathroom, in the kitchen, add value in that sense. Is that what you mean?
Yes, you okay. can add value. You're looking as the bank is looking at the net profit, like mm-hmm. your net operating income.
Right.
Now, by increasing the rents, you have to explain why you're increasing the rents. You can't just increase it just to increase it, yep. right? So you have to invest in it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can lower your expenses, revise your insurance, electricity bill too high. So let me change everybody to LED or control the temperature and max it out at 24.
Right.
No apartments can actually go higher than 24.
Right. For Boom. Example.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So now rents are higher. Then the value of my property will be increased.
Mm. Wow.
And when people are looking at cash flow, the real investors are looking at how much equity am I actually creating?
Mm.
Because now the market will have a lower impact on how much my property is going to be worth. I'm the one putting the effort, and the fruits are still in my backyard. I'm directly creating the wealth and the added value to my asset. And that's a lot. That's people don't have that. They can study an asset. You can study a stock, take it out, put it back in.
Right.
But unless you work for the company and actually take decisions for it,
yeah,
you can't create
right like
that you, added value
like you can in your, with real estate.
Like you can in real estate.
So and I think we have there's so much to deep dive in there. But Ronnie, from your perspective, when it comes down to that buying, where do you buy? Do you have any advice on like how do you select? Where do you go? Where do you start with that ultimately?
Where do you buy? How do you start? So first you have to be honest with yourself and know how much money you actually have.
That's I was going to say, because I was like, all this sounds awesome, but it like the reality check. Yes. We're talking a couple $100,000 you're putting down. Yes,
Well, we're
no
talking
longer
commercial.
Right, for sure. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, because we're not talking about just buying a residential spot. We need.
Yeah. You know, just to give you an example, I calculated all the sixplex that were sold in the last 2 years in Montreal, put them through a conventional way of buying, purchasing, and the down payment average was about 53.4%.
Wow.
Whoa.
Of the price.
Wow.
So that was your down payment.
Yeah. Wow. See, that's
so, so the first question is, man, this is out of my league. How do I do it? But there is so many ways of doing it.
Mm.
The furthest way of doing it is with a REIT.
Mm-hmm.
A REIT will be a stock, almost like a stock, but the company owns real estate.
Okay.
So they actually give you dividends, quarterly dividends. Mm. You give them money, they do the purchasing, and from the cash flow they get, they give you money every 4 months.
Wow.
This is the furthest way of actually you can invest in properties.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not yourself looking just at this,
okay.
Right? You can actually put yourself in a group, contact the OFC, put yourself in a specific community that are putting their money together.
Mm-hmm.
But the main question is always, what's the exit plan?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know the exit plan, don't go in.
That's 100%.
Don't start asking once you're in, hey, how are we getting, what are we getting?
Facts, yeah.
And the minute you understand that you can create your value, you can increase the value, you can also not look at the cash flow coming in, but the future equity created with what you're saying. So by raising $50 out of my sixplex on everybody in the sixplex, it's $300 added.
Right.
That $300 added for the bank can easily represent added value of your property of $150,000 or $100,000.
Right, yeah.
Right? So now you're thinking, oh, it's not just an extra $300.
Exactly.
The bank sees this as, whoa, my property is worth a lot more. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you can refinance and get a lot more and repeat with the money that you refinance and not necessarily the cash flow that comes in. So if you're focused on the cash flow, that little money coming in, then you're looking at the wrong thing.
Yeah, you're functioning like an S and E, maybe even a B. But you're not functioning like an investor. Yeah, you're not functioning like an investor.
You're not on the B side. You're on the E and S side.
E and S. True.
So the most important thing, really, to wrap it up is get to know yourself, to know what type of investment fits your need and your risk appetite. Higher the risk, the higher the better the more the biscuit, whatever the hell they say it. So once you know yourself, then you get education.
Get educated.
You'll find other people that you're going to say, okay, well, I'm not alone no more.
Exactly.
Right? I can do this as a team.
Mm.
And once you have a good team around you,
Sky's the limit.
Sky's the limit.
Mm-hmm.
Sky's the limit.
You see, and I think for us it was important, especially in the times that we're in right now. Like I said, our gas prices are bananas. There's the cost of living is just going crazy. We wanted to bring nuggets to the community to plant some seeds, right? That mm-hmm. would that would help the community to think differently, to see things differently. So from what I'm taking from this, there is a value in coming together with a collective of people who are on the I mentality. Yes. Where you guys could come together and say, you know what? Okay, I have 10,000 here, I have 20,000 here. Regarding this, whatever, we could pool our capital together and raise the money that we need to buy our first sixplex, mm-hmm. even if it's $500,000, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, we pool that capital together, and then we own our first sixplex. But then, from when you do that, sky's the limit.
Sky's the limit. You want smart money.
You're right.
Because raising money is one thing, mm-hmm. but where is it being invested? Who's in control?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the main person controlling the whole thing? Is actually the most important thing. So the education has to come after.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just, hey, I know someone with a lot of money. No, get educated first.
Yeah.
Get to know the risk profile of mm-hmm. that investor. Does right. he want his money right away? Can he wait 5 years?
Mm.
If you're new, you tell people I'm new. It might take a little longer.
Yeah.
Right? Don't overpromise. Mm-hmm. You know, under promise, over deliver.
Over deliver.
That type of approach. But there's so much. There's so much to it. You know, I want to uncover and so many nuggets. But again, go see MREX.
Mm-hmm.
They have a YouTube channel. You can contact the OFC if mm-hmm. you need a community you can rely on and try to get other professionals that have the bits and pieces of knowledge that you need.
Well, I'm excited to share, because you and I, we've spoken off air and about basically the plans that we have for the community. So one, I'm very grateful to have you as a member of the club and for your willingness to be able to help us to head a collective investment project. Right. So yes. Now we have somebody within our community that we could actually rely on, who has the knowledge, who has the information, who's here to help us and guide us. The value that is going to bring to one, the collective as a community is exceptional. But again, the generational wealth that we're going to be able to provide for our future, for our children coming up. And that is one of the main points why we all came together and created this investment club, is because we wanted to see something for our future. Where we yes. had made the mistake, we never even thought about an exit, because we weren't in it for an exit. We were in it to pool our capital together to keep it long term, because in our minds, that's how you build generational wealth. So none of us were like, okay, how are we going to get back out? We're like, no, we are in it for life, and we're in it for our next generation.
Yeah, and right? I think when we talk about exit, it's multifold, right? Mm-hmm. There is the, okay, do I want to purchase this, flip it, and make more money and keep it going? But right. the exit is like, okay, when can I exit being so hands-on
mm-hmm.
on this property and whatnot? And then I can remove myself and let it give me that residual income,
mm-hmm.
income
mm-hmm.
without needing so much time and whatnot, and start building more.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Right? And so that, like, you got to give yourself that time frame for that type of quote-unquote mm-hmm. exit.
Yeah, definitely. And if you're running after the cash too fast, then mm-hmm. guess what? You're paying taxes extremely fast as well. So
right.
whatever profit you're making out of a flip, I mean, you better reinvest that money extremely fast,
mm.
simply because your taxes are going to be stupid crazy. Right?
Yes.
And I wanted to share this with you guys, mm-hmm. because when I dug deep into my reasoning onto why I want to do this, because you have to ask yourself why,
mm-hmm.
4 or 5 times.
Yep.
You don't accept the first answer, you dig a little deeper.
Mm.
And through slavery, mm-hmm. we were able to make land more profitable.
Mm.
Right? Mm-hmm. By digging our hands in it and making the land that we didn't own
right.
more profitable.
Mm-hmm.
While being told to go back to our our own land,
right, yeah.
while making another land more profitable.
Mm.
Now we're completely 2022. We're in Montreal. We're in Montreal this morning.
Mm-hmm.
There's no slavery, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know mm. how to create value on mm-hmm. land, because mm. this is the most important thing. After yeah. this, nobody's going to tell me to go back.
Anyway.
Nowhere.
Because
mm, I'll be it. Exactly where I need to be.
Mm.
And my daughter
mm-hmm.
will know, hey, this is ours.
Wow. Right.
All right.
Wow. Rodney, now this, I feel it deserves a round of applause. Like, that closing statement right there, that is how you close an Empower Hour interview. Jesus. That was good. Guys, my goodness. So, Rodney, I can't thank you enough. I know people are listening and they're like, where are the handles? How do I reach Rodney? What is it? So go ahead. You could share what and how, you know, what the next steps are.
Yeah, I mean, I accept all my friends on Facebook. Anyone mm-hmm. who wants to be my friend on Facebook will be friends. It's okay.
That's a start.
It's okay, right? So Rodney Jeune,
good.
J-E-U-N-E.
Mm-hmm.
Through the OFC, you can also mm-hmm. contact me because I will be doing some workshop with the OFC to dig a little deeper into the subjects. Mm-hmm. But yeah, on Facebook or LinkedIn.
Perfect.
Rodney Jeune, you can hit me up.
I'm so excited.
Will be putting together something to really bring all the investors or people that want some information, but it's really just about sharing and growing together.
That's it. And on a personal note, I do want to thank you personally for taking the time and speaking to my son. He was glowing by the time that he ended the call. He called me right after. He's like, "Dude, this is crazy, Dad. I'm going to be a millionaire." I was like,
yes, he will.
He has the mindset. He has the spirit. So I thank you for the knowledge. And you've gone over and above because normally we ask people in the community, you know, if you could spend like 45 minutes max, you know, half hour to talk. Your conversation with him went over an hour, and you're like, "We're gonna have a follow up."
Yeah, for sure. We need follow up.
Basically, so we're gonna put it on a schedule. He told the whole nine. So I thank you again for just going over and beyond.
No problem. The commodity of time is something that a lot of people forget. So when I meet a young, bright son like yours, I mean, I just want to give him all the information because time is on his side. Now that he knows.
That's it.
Dangerous.
So you guys heard it. Anybody who wants to get involved, so follow up, check out the OFC. You go OFCcommunity.com. You could sign up. You could join the community, join the collective. And as soon as you join, say, "I'm interested in real estate." If that's what it is, "I'm interested in the collective investment." If that's what it is, and we will guide you and we'll make sure you're part of the right groups and that you're present in the next meetings that we're going to have. I think we're working on something for beginning of April. So, you know, you guys will be in the know. So we're going to take another musical break. With the one and only DJ Powda, and that's Powda, P-O-W-D-A, not powder. Okay, just clarifying. And he is our Prime Minister of Soka. So ones and twos, let's kick it off.
Powda in the mix.
You know how I like it, you know how I like it. Yeah, yeah. I wanna tease and tease and baby, don't
static.
I wanna wind up a body.
Tonight is one of them nights. I'm feeling for price. You know how I like it. Wet and wide. Make that money spend. And I go make back rent. Can you handle it? You get me and my friend.
So what?
Rock all time wine with me. Roll that waistline for me. Better stop to me nicely. If you wanna taste that ice cream. So fine like chili, baby. If you want a taste of this, double team. Tonight we up for speed.
Yeah.
Double team. Action go make it up.
Yeah.
Double team.
Yeah.
Tonight we up for speed.
Woo.
Double team. Action go make it up.
Static.
Girl, so she want to shake up the place. Had a boyfriend, body boy run. Oh my goodness, love. What a disgrace. A them thing get boy born. True, but a long time she want me.
Second, go take that. The sound of this doorbell may seem pretty ordinary to you, until you realize that it's Graham, who's 75 years old and still delivering meals to people in need in his neighborhood. And that for many of them, it's the most comforting sound they'll hear all day. Seniors bring so much to Quebec. Let's recognize their contribution. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
What it doing, Power Hour listeners?
What it doing, Power Hour listeners?
And you already know I'm coming through with the news. Now, before we even get to that, first and foremost, I hope all of y'all are doing...
In the mix.
I go make my friend, can you handle it? You get me and my friend.
So what?
Rock all time, wine me. Double team. Action, go make it happen.
Static. Girl, so she want me shake up the place. Had a boyfriend, buddy, boy, run. Oh my goodness, love, what a disgrace. A them thing get boy, but true, but a long, long time she want me.
I don't make joke, I real man woman. I don't make spark, I don't make
from no man. You keep trying my patience, but you pick the wrong one. I get in tired of you. I'm not putting up with that. But you keep it up, go ahead, keep it up. I'm more than fed up by you. I get in tired of you. I'm not putting up with that. But you keep it up, go ahead, keep it up. I'm more than fed up by you. I wash your clothes and cook for you, and I never horn you. Hear the good good. Fully support you. You are just me, eh? You are just me. I wash your clothes and cook for you, and I never horn you. Hear the good good. I'll be back and I fully support you. You are just me, eh? You are just me.
Cannot handle the people rum. When you see the people rum, leave it alone. Yeah, what I tell you. Cannot handle the people rum. When you see the people rum, leave it alone. Hear what I tell you. When you see them gyal and them rolling up them bam bam, if you can manage, leave them alone.
Stay in your lane, stay in your lane.
In your crease,
back in your crease.
Stay in your zone,
stay in your zone.
Leave it alone.
Yeah.
Stay in your lane,
stay in your lane.
Back in your crease,
back in your crease.
Stay in your zone.
Baby, vet till it's on over. I turn off the vet till it's on over. Boy, I just wanna get this feeling all day. I just wanna drink and party all day. Turn off the vent till it's over. I turn off the vent till it's over. Boy, I just wanna get this feeling all day. I just wanna drink and party all day. Yeah. Give a little money to the promoter. Boy, give a little money to the club owner. Hey, I just wanna get this feeling all day.
The Soca Prime Minister, Powda.
What it do, Empower Hour listeners? It is your homegirl, Tammy, and you already know I'm coming through with the news. Now, before we even get to that, first and foremost, I hope all of y'all are doing good. If you are feeling a little wishy-washy or a little bit under the weather, I'm sending y'all some love and light. You already know, chin up, crown on, 10 toes down, because hard times don't last, but hard people do, y'all. So y'all got this. As you guys know, your homegirl likes to talk a lot, so I have so little time to do so in this segment. So if you guys want to catch up with me during the week, you guys can do so by hitting me up on Instagram at Tammy Tuesdays, and that's with a Z at the end. So let's get right into it. Now, last week I had spoken to you guys about Gala Dynasty that was hosting their sixth edition. So it happened, and Monsieur Benoît Charette was present. He is the minister responsible for the fight against racism. So he is basically part of the Legault government, right? Which is La CAQ, which they are the government in power right now in Quebec. Now, it's important to understand that they refuse to acknowledge the presence of systemic racism, right? They think that, yes, some people can be racist, but they completely disregard and refuse to acknowledge the concept of systemic racism here in Quebec. So this minister, again, responsible for the fight against racism, was present. And he did a 7-minute speech. In that 7-minute speech, he basically, you know, shouted out and honored Monsieur Lamine Touré, who is the owner of Club Balatou and also the founder of Nuit d'Afrique. In his speech, in which he mentions Monsieur Lamine Touré, he gave his sympathies to his family and friends because, according to him, Monsieur Lamine Touré had passed away. Y'all, this man was alive and breathing and sitting in the audience, okay? He even received an award that night. He was being honored that night. Now, the problem with that, y'all, is this. The minister, again, responsible for the fight against racism, I have to continuously specify that, right? He was present. Clearly, either he didn't do his homework properly, either his assistant didn't do their homework properly, or he didn't take the time to read the speech that was pre-written for him, right? It's one of those three options. But what it is that it speaks volumes to the consideration or lack thereof that he has for the melanated community. Because trust me, that would not happen at Le Gala La Disque. That would not happen in, you know, the Jewish community, the Arab community. That would never happen. But this man felt comfortable coming to the melanated community and saying something like that, which is highly disrespectful. Now, with that said, it's election time. Elections are in October, by the way. So there's no days off for political parties, right? So, of course, he took the time to do some campaigning by shouting out his colleague, Madame Shirley Dorismond, who is actually currently candidate for Marie Victorin. The important thing to understand about Shirley Dorismond is that not only was she present at Gala Dynasty, but a couple of weeks ago, during an interview on air, she refused to admit to systemic racism. What we need to understand about Ms. Shirley Dorismond is that she is a melanated woman who used to fight against systemic racism. And now she refuses to admit it exists. So we have to pay attention, y'all. As the saying goes, not all skin folk is kin folk. So let's just pay attention. Election time is coming up in October. I'm going to keep talking about this, y'all, because I think that we do have a very good voting capacity and power. There's power in numbers. And I think that the melanated community definitely needs to show up and show out at this election. Now, with that being said, on to the next subject. Vaccination passports, right? So as we all know, March 12th, the vaccine passport here in Quebec was suspended. I choose to say suspended because the Ministre Dubé mentioned numerous times during press conferences that the vaccine passport is not going nowhere. He made that very clear that it is being suspended, but it can and will be brought back if there is a new wave, right? Or a new variant. So I choose to use the word suspended. Now, with the vaccine passport suspended as of March 12th, I don't understand why Montreal, including the greater Montreal area, prolonged the state of emergency for 5 extra days. I don't understand. If the vaccine passport is coming down, if the mask mandates are about to, you know, be suspended as well, slowly but surely, why is there a need to prolong the state of emergency? There was no context given. They simply, you know, came out with that information in a press release on March 11th, and that was it. So I'm hoping that this week they might have a press conference to just elaborate a bit more on it. And if they do, I will definitely be coming back next week with more information for y'all. Now, since we are talking about vaccine passports, although we are in Quebec, I think it's important for us to pay attention to other provinces and what, you know, is going on in the rest of Canada. So Ontario drops or suspends the vaccine mandates, right? But listen, I'm going to read to you guys a tweet that Doug Ford did, okay? So it says, "Good morning, Ontario. Because of all the progress we've made, businesses are now at full capacity. At the advice of Dr. Monroe, proof of vaccination is no longer required, but some businesses may choose to continue to ask for it. We've come so far. Please be kind, safe, and cautious." Now, again, the proof of vaccination, according and, you know, to the advice of Dr. Moore, proof of vaccination is no longer required, but they are allowing businesses to continue to ask for it. To me, that's problematic because, you know what, if there's no mandate for a business to follow, why are they asking for it? Basically, it is off perceived safety, right? Meaning if they do not feel safe I'm gonna get it, y'all. If they do not feel safe around an unvaccinated person, they can continue to ask for the vaccine passport. The problem with that is based on nothing, right? Except for perception, right? So it's a feeling, it's what you perceive. So it's definitely not factual and it's definitely not science, right? But the problem and what scares me with this is that it can create a very dangerous precedent, right? Because if, for example, a business owner says, you know what, unvaccinated people, I don't want you in my business right now. I don't feel safe, so I'm going to ask you for a proof of vaccination. Okay, you know what? Ontario's saying that's okay. But now what about if a Caucasian says, you know what? I don't feel safe around Black people. Or if someone says, I don't feel safe around gay people, lesbian people, trans people, people with HIV, handicapped people. I mean, the list goes on, right? So it's kind of opening up a very big rabbit hole of discrimination, right? And I think it's very dangerous. So I am paying very close attention to that, even though it's in Ontario. Oftentimes, what Ontario does, Quebec does, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand. So I just feel it's important to pay attention to that. And I will be paying attention and coming back next week with more information. My time is up, y'all. Have a great week. And again, if you guys want to reach out to me, you guys can catch me on Instagram at Tammy Tuesdays. So TammyTuesdayz. So on that note, y'all, stay blessed. Peace.
Wait. So, okay. Gina, you're here. I was about to take a moment of silence for I was sure. Okay, Gina, you're still here. You're alive.
I am. Okay. Unless you're Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
And this is The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
I am still alive.
We also have to give props to Tammy for just bringing that heat, because Tammy, she is speaking about what we need to speak about. She is bringing it, because honestly, how you gonna? You might as well give the man condolences to his family, and he's there.
Right there, live. In the audience.
Like,
who briefed this?
Yo, somebody should be fired, like, including the whole CAC government. But I should say that the views that I'm sharing right now are my views, not the views of CKT. But I'm just saying, just being in the shoes of the brother who is hearing somebody acknowledging him passing away, like, you have to look around and be like, yo, wait, are we all dead? Can you see me? Did you let me get in? Did you know I was here? Like, who is? Yo, anyways, guys, man, we just
have
to do better.
To make mistakes is human.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem is, that's the wrong mistake to make.
Mm-hmm.
In front of a room.
Can we coin this, like, systemic ignorance? Can we say that? Can we say this is systemic ignorance? Is that even a no?
I mean, I'm not mad at that per se, but is it systemic ignorance? Is it all black people look alike?
Mm.
What is this?
Yeah, guys. So, well,
I wanted to say too, because she mentioned about how I appreciate her bringing up, you know, the fact that they say for those who want to continue using the passport, like, they can.
Mm-hmm.
And it does create a very dangerous precedent.
Yep.
Because as she was saying, that she explained it too, I was kind of like, I'm going to need to make sure that you're asking everybody, because that can just allow you to say that you can let your certain people that always come all the time. And then if there's someone at the door, you're just like, meh, I don't think that person's going to tip well. Do you have your passport?
Exactly. Literally, that's what it does.
Like, so I find that weird. And she mentioned it being in Ontario, but actually there's there's restaurants in Quebec that say that too. And one said, like, the reason why they want to do is because their clientele, like, it's a certain clientele that they have that tends to be, as they say, des gens d'un certain âge.
Okay.
You know, which is them saying old people.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, they have to do it for the health of their clientele. And I go, well, on one end, I kind of told myself, I was like, well, clearly that I'm not that clientele.
Right.
But at the end of the day, too, it's just like, well, no, but it's just a device to continue the discrimination.
And I guess my two cents on that is just that, at that rate, segregate your dollar. If people don't want you in their business, wish them the best, segregate your dollar and keep it moving. And just like, because I just to force and to fight to say, I want to spend my money here.
No, I'm not going to fight you. And then just like, okay, so when are you coming? Oh, never.
Yeah, never. 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 And I'm going to bad talk you to my network of thousands of people. So just, okay, peace and deuces. But anyway, so we, like, you guys haven't heard Queen Kaya, but she's with us in spirit, and she has an amazing interview we're going to run right now with the one and only Milica Tirolien. I'm super excited to hear it. So let's go.
Tell me about a little bit about who you are.
Well, I am an artist from Guadeloupe, based in Montreal. It's been like almost two decades that I've been in Montreal. I'm a part of a Grammy nominated band called Bocante, who toured the world. I'm also a part of a band called Vox Sambu. He's an Asian guy based in Montreal too. And he's been touring everywhere also. And I have my own band under my name. And we've been touring a lot, doing a lot of music. We released an album last year called Higher. And I was a part of the Community Vibe Collective, which was a collective reuniting artists, like doing improv every week. It was like a weekly night for like over 15 years. That's how I met all the members of my band, etc.
That is beautiful. That's actually a really exciting story, actually. That's cool. I love that. I love that. So that's how you got to know which people might have been good for you and good for your team.
Well, yes and no. It's just because it was an improv night and there would be like above 75 members in the whole collective. So we would get to play with a lot of different people each week. So then you know what flavor you like, you know, like what flavor you like musically in each musician. So that helps you build your own thing after, because then you have the choices and you know the direction that you want to take.
Right, right. I love that. So I heard there was some buzz about you winning a Grammy.
No, I didn't win. I was nominated.
You were nominated for a Grammy.
Yeah, I was nominated with Bocante in 2020, but we lost it, and it's Angelique Kidjo who took the Grammy. It was for Best World Music Album.
Okay, that's okay, but a nomination is just as good for us because how hard it is to be recognized. So to be in the runnings is actually amazing. And I'm sorry for that. I must have got the information wrong. But either way, Queen, I can tell you that is definitely an accomplishment to be in the runnings for a placement like that. So bless you.
I know why. Maybe you thought I won. It's because I've been on albums that have won Grammys. I was on the Snarky Puppies album Family Dinner with one song that won a Grammy. The song Something. So yes. That there was this one in 2013, and I sang on Jacob Collier's album Jesse Volume 3. And I think one of the songs I sing on won a Grammy also last year.
Beautiful. That's beautiful.
That's why. But it's not on my.
Okay, name. Because this is what I definitely assumed was the case. Because if you're on a song that won a Grammy, you won a Grammy.
So. It depends.
I know in the music world, it's a lot more technical than that. Exactly. However, it's a win for us. It's a win for us, sister. First things first, I want to get into a little something with you. Tell me, what is your favorite song by you?
Oh, wow. This is, I will say it's a song I haven't written yet.
Oh, okay. Okay, I love that. You haven't written it yet, but you know, but you can feel it. You can hear the melody.
Well, we'll see.
Okay. So what is your favorite song that you like performing?
That I like performing right now. Oh my God, my favorite. I would say Better.
Better?
Yeah.
I love that. Do you have any, is there anywhere where we can go and see you performing Better live?
I didn't put it out live yet, the performance of Better, but soon.
Okay, that's cool. Tell us, where can we find your music right now? Where can we find you?
And everywhere, on all the platforms, Spotify, Tidal, Amazon, all these things, and YouTube, and all the usual places that
tell the people who they're searching for.
Malika Tyrolien.
Beautiful. I love the way that rolls off your tongue. That is so beautiful. You have a beautiful name too. You are truly blessed. Truly blessed.
Thank you.
And you got a great name, girl.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I love that. It has a good ring to it. So what can we see from Malika in the future?
We are having a show on March 23rd at Centre-Fille. So I'm really hoping that people can support this show. The whole part of the album, Higher, it's really an Afrocentric album. So mm-hmm. I'm really hoping to connect the community around it. And we're going to be playing some shows and some stuff probably like in the spring and summer. So I will have the time to confirm mm-hmm. all these things. But for mm-hmm. now, it will be mostly the promotion of the show in March on the 23rd. And the album, a lot of people don't know about the album because of the pandemic. We haven't been really able to promote it, you know, in a really efficient way, since there's no shows and nothing. So that would be really great to let people know that the album is out. We're gonna celebrate an anniversary actually this Monday. The real date is February 26th, so it's on Saturday, but on Monday beautiful. We release a video, a live video, so I'm mm-hmm. hoping that people are going to go and watch that. Mm-hmm. And just support live music and local music in Montreal, because artists need you.
I love that. And if you could work with any artist locally, or any artist mainstream, who would you want to work with at where you're at right now?
Mainstream, my dream is to work with Kendrick Lamar. It's my favorite artist of all time. And locally, I would say Patrick Watson.
Yes, I love that. I love your choices. You should actually tweet Kendrick, though. You should actually get on Twitter and tweet him. You never know. That brother is so humble.
No, he's my kind of artist, especially because he's never on these social things. He's like, it's another level of respect that I have for him. He doesn't care about these things.
Yes, understood. Wow. So tell me, if there's anything that you could tell the people about you, about your artistry, about what you do, what would you like to leave the people with?
I don't know. I feel like the vision I have of myself is not necessarily the one that people have of me, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'm really in love with music. I've been in love with music for all my life, and I like to serve the music. I like things to be well done, to be felt. I like people to feel something when I sing and when I play. It's for me, that's what music is for.
Mm, love that. What's your favorite language to sing in?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like it depends on the song. It depends on the song. Like each language can be beautiful for something. So it really depends on the song.
Okay, wonderful. Wow, okay, I love that. So moving forward, so in the future that hopefully we'll be able to see you perform at some of these live shows. You guys make sure that you go and check out Miss Malika Tirolian. I want to make sure that you guys support this lady. So make sure you follow her, stream her music. To be out here as a melanated artist in Canada it is very hard. So the strides that this young lady has made are monumental for our music community. So we want to make sure that we uphold the order around our artists and push them up and push them into the forefront to make sure that everyone sees them. So make sure you go out there and support this young lady. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your piece on our show. I appreciate you. We appreciate you.
All right.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Okay. That was fire. That was fire. I know that Kai is not here to give us a little bit of what's going on in the celebrity world, mm-hmm. but I did want to take the opportunity to extend my condolences to the Braxton family. Mm. Tracy Braxton is one of Toni Braxton's younger sisters. Mm. She did pass away on Saturday at the age of 50 from cancer, leaving behind a husband, a daughter-in-law, a son, and two grandchildren. Mm. If you don't know Tracy, I don't know. Have you guys watched the Braxton Family Values?
Mm-mm, no.
Or I think it's Braxton Family Values. I don't know, however it is.
Where is it playing on?
TV.
Okay, good. All right. Yeah. TV, somewhere in there.
Yeah,
good.
Somewhere in that world. Actually, I think they had stopped filming at some point in time because there was some disagreements with production and all these different things. Mm-hmm. And we all always expected them to come back on, but then there was a lot going on. Like, I mean, with Tamar and her at the time boyfriend and all these different things. And I guess in this particular case, there's a lot of things going on behind the scene that was really none of our business at all the end of the day.
Yep.
So she did pass. Condolences to the Braxton family, who all are very, very talented. She was talented herself. She had, I think she put out an album.
Mm-hmm.
Great voice, and it's really sad to see.
Condolences, and my quick little entertainment thing, guys, just check out the Kanye West documentary on Netflix. First of all, you guys already know Kanye is my other brother that I don't mention, but he's family to me, and I would like you guys to just continue to support him. He needs all the support he can get.
I bet he does.
Why are you watching me like that, Gina?
No, it's because I go through the roller coasters with Kanye, too. Like, I'm just like, oh, come on, guys. You know, everyone shares their messages in different ways. Mm-hmm. People accept messages in different ways, and he does something, I'm like, okay, well, I'm not sure.
About that one. No, but when you watch the doc, though, you'll understand. It's like what you see is what you get with Kanye. Kanye has been like this since before he was rich.
But I've said this, that, like, I do think there's correlation between you and Kanye, too, because there's one thing about Kanye, I feel like it's like, and it has to be from someone he obviously trusts, but someone come tell him, like, oh, Kanye, by the way, the sky isn't blue, it's purple, and these are the reasons, and he'll go around and be like, yo, world,
the sky's purple. Facts.
You know what I mean? Like, this has been your whole life has been a lie. And then when someone's like, yo, Kanye, that person is a charlatan, the sky is really blue. Like, all right, guys, made a mistake. The sky is still blue. It was never purple.
But at least he's coming with that same energy, and he's clear. And he's letting people know, guys, my intention is good. I just want to tell you guys what time it is.
And that's what it is. The intention is good. Exactly. Then sometimes I'm just like, I need you to fact check a little more before you go on them tangents.
Facts, but still, support Kanye.
Support our brother, especially after the trauma.
Yeah.
Nope, not getting into it. Affirmation of the week.
Next week, I'll bring up more Kanye news. Go ahead.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So my quote of the week this week is, when someone tells you no, it doesn't mean you can't do it. It just simply means you can't do it with them. And nice. I want to add to that and have people understand that someone's allowed to tell you no, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
You know, and someone's allowed to tell you no, and you're allowed to say no, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I struggled with that for a very long time.
Mm.
I struggled a lot with saying no to things and always wanting to, I won't call it people pleasing because I'm not necessarily a people pleaser, but I am a very dependable person.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I want to help the people I love. But sometimes when you do it to your own detriment, you definitely have to learn how to say no. And that person receiving that no needs to understand that it may have nothing to do with them. Sometimes it has something to do with them, but it may have nothing to do with them.
True.
And it's just you're not in that disposition.
Yeah, exactly.
To offer the act or service or whatever it is that you're being asked of.
Facts. Love that.
So that is the quote of the week. Now for our black facts. Mm-hmm. Black facts.
Black facts. I'm just backing you up. Go ahead.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Background singer.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Philip A. Payton Jr. He became known for providing African Americans in New York City with an opportunity to live in quality housing in the northern Manhattan community of Harlem. Shout out to Harlem.
Wow.
Shout out to Harlem. As a real estate broker, property manager, and owner, Payton gained a national reputation among African American business leaders during the first decade of the 20th century.
Mm.
You know, we talked about generational wealth.
Yeah.
And he did it on a level where it was for a generation of people.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if there's anything that hasn't been gentrified in this gentrifying world, Harlem has a hold on Harlem.
Right? Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna hold you on that one.
Bidding a good morning to you all, I'm Jerry Goodfriend, welcoming you to Folk Directions, a program of music based in and influenced by tradition, here on CKUT Radio, 90.3 FM in Montreal, streamed and archived on the World Wide Web at ckutfolk.com.